since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1236. This is your host, Danny Pena. We have the whole crew here. Let's start with Paris Lilly. Paris, what's going on, man? We're back.
Yes, we're back. It was good seeing you over the last couple of days at the Game Awards, but we're back and doing GTR. Excited for it.
Yeah, and also Peter Toledo. What's up, Pete?
Producer extraordinaire. You should probably add that in there, right, for getting this stream up in 10 minutes or less. But what's up,
hey.
Dude? What's
up? It works.
What's up, everybody? I'm so glad. Look, and I'm going to throw it out there because I know, you know, Parrish jumped on the thread early with the drip conversation, but sorry, Paris, Danny and Ree gotcha. They one upped you on
the
drip.
No, they look fantastic. I'm not taking nothing away. Look, Ree looked great. Screw Danny. But all I was saying was, why wasn't I in the article? I deserve to be in the article. Everybody loved the jacket. Come on. Why wasn't I in there?
The jacket was great, but I think the shirt did too much.
Everybody keeps going, but that's the point. The point was to do too much. That was the whole point, was to just be loud and proud, and that's what I did.
No, okay? The point was to look good.
Oh my God! So you're saying I didn't look good?
Right. Look,
okay, I'm done.
Are you a bot? Are you a bot on Twitter? Nah, I liked it. I liked it. It was dope. I think it was really dope.
You're welcome, yeah. John Wickie. FYI, for that, he made like this hilarious PC talk commentary about Danny last week. So I sent out shirts. So shout out to John Wickie in the chat. I hooked him up. With some drip.
Yeah, man. It was great. It was great being there at the Game Awards. I'm exhausted. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm still feeling tired. I've been, you know, hanging out with friends and doing stuff and all that stuff. Are you feeling the same way too, Paris? Because, you know, I'm still exhausted.
Oh, I'm tired. Yeah, I'm very tired. It was, like, that's basically all I did yesterday, was just lounge around the house and try to recover. But dude, it was so good to just be there, you know, over like Thursday and Friday, you know, day after we were hanging out as well. And just seeing everybody, man. I mean, that's the thing about the Game Awards that I like, is just being able to see everyone, talk to everybody. I mean, from the tippity top of people like Phil Spencer all the way down to someone I've just meeting for the first time that listens to the show. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what's awesome about it. It's just the diversity of people that congregate, you know, for the Game Awards. And Jeff did a great show again. I really enjoyed the show itself. Thought that was fine. But it was a great time, you know, just catching up with people. I swear that after show at the JW, I feel like I talked to 1,000 people for like 10 seconds each. Because every time someone went, hey, how you doing? Someone else was grabbing me talking. It was just this whole back and forth thing. But it was good, man. I was really, really happy to be there.
Yeah, I was making my rounds, just going around everything and just talking to everybody, man. And it was great conversation about the trailers, the stuff that happened over there at the awards. We're going to be talking about all that stuff here. We have a lot of things to say, man. So, but for those who are listening, make sure to head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. We have a lot of content. Make sure to share the content. Also, if you find us on any podcast app, if you don't, just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. Will help us out a lot. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, you have thoughts, feedback about not only about Gamertag Radio, but also the conversation, or even talk about the Game Awards that happen. Hey, send all the questions and we put it on the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Now, there's only, I believe, maybe one maybe 1 week left before we take our time off. I got to check the calendar, but it looks like it's only one or two. We'll see. But after that, we're going to take some time off because of the holidays, and we'll be back sometime next year. It's going to be our 18th year for GTR once we come back. So it's going to be, it's crazy. It's nuts. So stay tuned for that. Let's make this happen, man. So let's talk about the Game Awards. So I want to start off with the conversation where, you know, everybody's been talking about the awards and everything. I think this was my favorite one, man. I think the pacing was great. I love the, even though because of certain speeches, the show went a little bit long, but I think, I think the announcements were perfect. Even the pre-show, because I went back and checked out that video. I didn't know they had, it was announced, the Dead Cells Castlevania DLC, because I love Dead Cells. It's an amazing game. Vampire Survivors, now on mobile, and it's totally free. For those who don't know, that also was announced. There was a couple of things there that I was like surprised. But also the actual Game Awards, yo, I had a great time seeing there. Yo, like, the announcement of Judas was like my highlight was that. Also, Blue Protocol, it's a Namco and Bandai and Amazon Games. It's a free MMORPG that's coming out sometime next year. I think they're gonna have something early access early next year. And that's gonna be in all platforms. So I'm very excited about that. I was sitting next to Paris when they show that game. And we both agree, like, yo, this looked like true fantasy online vibe, Fantasy Star Online, that type of thing. So I'm very excited for that. I'm trying to think of other games. Also, Crime Boss, which I got to meet the team about that game. Actually, for those who don't know, I was the third person that got to see that trailer before it went live at the Game Awards. Thanks to 505 Games for inviting me and letting me interview the team. And everything, and that's coming out soon, Gamer Tag Radio. Maybe this will be a bonus episode this week. We'll see. But that was a lot of fun. There was so many games. I think it was a great way to celebrate gaming in general. I was very happy to see God of War winning a lot of awards. But I was telling Paris, like, yo, I think Elden Ring is gonna win Game of the Year. I think so. People were saying no, it could be God of War, which is, you know, that's possible too, but the reason why I was very happy to see Elden Ring is because the way that game changed gaming in a way where people that don't even play that game at all, those type of games at all, like those Dark Souls games, they got into it. They bought a console for this. Like, it had in my opinion, had a very major impact in gaming than any other game that came out this year. You know what I'm saying? So, but overall, I had a great time. Paris, I know you were there too, so if you want to talk about your experience and reaction about the awards, go ahead, man.
All right. Well, thank you, Christopher Judge. I will go ahead now and tell you what I think. No, a couple games that you didn't mention. First and foremost, Judas from, was it Ghost Story Games? Basically, Ken Levine, whatever. Yep. This is his follow-up to Bioshock Infinite.
I did mention it.
You did? Well, you talked for like 20 minutes. I forget, I guess. But no, that one for me obviously stood out because I've really been anticipating that coming for a long time. So to finally see that get revealed is very exciting. And then the other one, Hades 2. I mean, and it was so funny. I just started playing it again just the other day. Remember, I was telling you that at the show. I just started let me start playing Hades again. And then boom, here we go. Hades 2. They announced that. So very excited for that as well. But, you know, like you said, like I said at the very top, overall, I thought the show was great. I'm not going to go as far as to say it was my favorite one. I still think my favorite one just for the shock value is 2019 with Microsoft showing off the Series X, because nobody saw that coming. But this was a great show. And I know Jeff, you know, said it was going to be shorter and it was going to be streamlined. But obviously, you know, Christopher Judge and a couple other people, Al Pacino, went kind of long with some of their speeches. So that kind of extended it out anyways. But it didn't feel as long as it did last year, as an example, right? So that was good. You can tell they they had the pacing down of balancing awards versus reveals and things like that. So it was good overall. Really enjoyed it. I put the tweet out yesterday. I did the Jimmy Butler tired meme. 2023 is going to be a freaking monster year for games, assuming mm-hmm. everything comes out as planned. My God. I mean, this is kind of the repercussions of the pandemic. So much stuff has been delayed over the past couple of years. I think everything's just getting dumped into 2023. And look, as a gamer, you can't complain, but my God, trying to play everything is going to be a task. But this is shaping up to be a banner year for gaming. So I'm really happy for that.
Mm-hmm. And I think judging for best games next year is going to be rough.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be so many good games
next year. Oh, one other big surprise that came out of that, Phantom Liberty. It's the Cyberpunk 2077 expansion. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba being in there. No, again, nobody saw that coming either. So really looking forward to that, too. And ironically enough, as we're recording this, this is the day after, but this is the two-year anniversary of Cyberpunk 2077. And it's interesting to see how the perception of that game has changed over the past couple of years. Obviously, you know, going back to 2 years ago, you know, I was fortunate enough to host a launch event, and then obviously it launched the way that it did. Everybody was mad, and then people were mad for a while, then it was like, it's okay. And then obviously the 1.6 update come out, everybody jumped back on and was loving it. This expansion got announced, and it got cheers at the Game Awards 2 years later, where a year ago nobody would have thought anything Cyberpunk would have been cheered, you know, by the big audience. So that was great to see as well.
Yeah. What about you, P? Was there any games that stood out to you? Any announcements or awards?
I mean, there was a handful. I think from a surprise standpoint, I mean, we kind of knew that Star Wars Jedi Survivor was coming out, but that's another one in the mm-hmm. spring. Was in March 2023. That's going to be another mm-hmm. just like another one of those games that is just like, when do I find time to play this when I'm playing everything else? The Dead Cells Castlevania DLC looked really, really cool. I know, Danny, you're a huge fan of Dead Cells, so seeing that integration of those two titles mixed together, I think it's going to work well. Obviously, you know, I was excited about Hades. I've been talking about Hades for the last 2 years, and I'm glad it's finally getting that shine that everybody's talking about. Diablo 4 getting a date, July 6th or June 6th, July 6th, some one of the J's, mm-hmm. one of the J months. That looked cool. As the comic book nerd, I was excited to see Hellboy. Was it Web of Word or Weird or something like that? However, I don't remember how they said it. So that's, you know, for me, that was pretty cool. I have like a whole list here. Remnant 2 was pretty interesting as well. The first one, for me, the original was pretty cool. It's kind of like a unique Souls-like game. I love the dark character design. They mentioned an archetypal progression system. So I'm curious to see how that works in the overall setting of Remnant 2. Surprising Transformers Reactivate. That looked cool.
That was very surprising.
Like an FPS Bumblebee, which was kind of interesting. Four-player co-op. We'll have a beta next year. If it can have gameplay that looks like the trailer, I'll be okay. If it doesn't, then it's going to be something that just like gets shoveled off to the side and lost with everything else. Like Paris said, Judas was amazing. You know, so apparently it's been in development since 2017. And it's gone through like 6 years of iterations and iterations and change, and it's always been in flux. So it's really cool to see, obviously, Ken Levine coming back in. I know mm-hmm. Paris has his history with Ken Levine. Obviously, I didn't expect to see a game that looked like BioShock in 2023, but not to say I'm excited for BioShock in 2023. If this is what we're getting, right? If this is the spiritual successor of it. Crime Boss looked really cool, just because of all the names and the type of, you know, the actors that are going to be in that. Mm-hmm. Michael Madsen, Danny Trejo, Chuck Norris, Vanilla Ice. I know there's a handful more. So it looks pretty cool. And I think the other one was Immortals of Avium from Ascendant Studios. That dev team is actually former COD and Dead Space developers all together. So it's really cool. It's like a fantasy magic-based first-person shooter. I'm excited to see that.
Wait, Danny, we can say it, right? We can say
yeah,
it.
Yeah. About what? Which
about what Peter's talking about, Immortals. Can we? I thought we could.
Yeah, we can. Let's pause on that one. just to confirm. Well,
keep it yeah. going. Just keep it moving.
Yeah, just pause on that one.
Yeah.
I'll mention something very quick about Crime Boss because a lot of people probably don't know much about it. They only seen the trailer, but the game takes place in Florida. It's a fake city. I can't remember the name, but it has the Miami vibes and everything, right? And it takes place in the 90s. That's why when you see all the actors that were there, it's all 90 actors or 90s celebs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. One of the things that they mentioned during the conversation we're having with them is the game is going to have so much dialogue that it doesn't repeat based on your choices that you do in the game and everything too. So you could play single player or co-op multiplayer. You could do that. And it's going to have the mix of like Grand Theft Auto, Payday type vibes in there, man, too. So I'm very excited to play that game. Very, very excited. Yeah. It looks really, really cool. Man.
Also, Armor Core 6 from Software, Fires of Rubicon.
Yes.
Looks really good. Kind of surprised that they went that route with all the success that they've had with the rest of the games. But they're featuring a new progression system. They've talked about a better free movement type system for the mechs. And he said that they're also going to introduce gameplay from their other games. So I'm curious to see what little tweaks and things that they're going to introduce from their stuff.
Can I ask you a question? Why Paris has like this reaction?
Oh, what happened?
Because I'm looking at the chat. Someone said they're going to reveal Spider-Man 2 next week. I have not seen that.
Next week?
Maybe it's just chat. Sorry. That got me excited when I saw that. I was like, wait, you know something I don't know? now James Stevenson over in Insomniac, he heads up, all the community communications. Yeah. He did tweet yesterday a picture of Peter and Miles, so maybe he's going off of that. But yeah, look, that is obviously going to be one of the biggest games of 2023 when that comes out. We already know that, and I wasn't surprised to not see that at the Game Awards because I would imagine PlayStation's going to do their own thing when they finally show more of that actual gameplay, for Spider-Man 2. Sorry to disrupt.
You know what? One thing that stood out to me because Paris notices. I didn't even notice at all, but they announced the new expansion of Horizon, right? And it only says
PS5.
PlayStation 5, yeah. PS5, no PS4. Were you in shock, Paris?
Yes and no. I was like, at first I go, not doing PS5. Interesting. But it's very similar to what CD Projekt Red is doing with Cyberpunk, because that Phantom Liberty is only next gen consoles and PC as well. I just think, and it was so funny when I tweeted it out during the Game Awards, I saw a lot of people that were playing Horizon on PS4. They were agreeing like, yo, it does not run very well on PS4. Mm. It's time to move on. So I think it's an optimization thing where to do the things that they wanted to do with the expansion, the PS4 was going to hold it back. So, all right, time to move on. Move on and just make it PS5, which, again, going into 2023, we're at that point now. Everything needs to just be next gen consoles. I don't need major releases showing up on Xbox One or PS4. It's time to move on. It is possible to get a next gen console now. It's not that hard if you want to get a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X or S. You can get one within a few week period. So as we go into 2023, as we start getting these big major releases coming out, let's move forward. Let's not look back. Yeah. Let's move forward. It's been 2 years. It's time to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good that we're going to see a lot of games now that's going to be next gen only. I mean, now, it was announced last week that Xbox games are going to be $70 now next year. The first party next gen games. So not surprised about that at all. So, yeah. All right. So, let's go to the next conversation, because I know this was a really big conversation. So while I was sitting with Paris, we were talking about the trailers and everything. And once we got to see the time, I looked at Paris looked at me and we're like, yo, there's no Xbox announcements, I think, here at the awards. And then the awards was done, and there was zero announcements. Now, after the show, there was a lot of conversations about that because we got to see Phil and also Sarah Bond at the event. And here's the thing. The Game Awards, of course, we're going to get to see announcements and trailers, right? But the awards is meant more for let's celebrate all the wins across the industry of people that been working really hard in these games for years. And, you know, that's where you get to see Game of the Year, you know, Best Direction, you know, narrative, all that stuff in there. And yeah, it's the best way for us to celebrate, right? But that's why we get to see people like Sarah and Phil, because one, they want to support of Jeff, of course, but also celebrate the wins from the industry overall, man. You know, Doug Bowser from Nintendo was there, right? It was a lot of people from all over from the industry, man, there. So my question I was going to ask you guys is, was it a bad decision not to have anything announced during the Game Awards? I was more disappointed, but I don't know. Like, I wanted to see what's going to happen next with Xbox. Are they going to have a separate event? Are they going to have multiple announcements next year? I don't know. Let's go from there, and we'll start a conversation. So, Paris, you want to go first?
I've talked a lot. Pete.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'm curious. No, I'm serious. I'm curious what Pete thinks.
Yeah.
I think part of it is legal. I think part of it is trying to reduce the noise from potentially getting their purchase of Activision blocked. I think they've got a lot of hands on deck towards that, and I think a lot of that. I think they're trying to temper expectations, especially with games coming out. In 2023 is going to be, and I think this is the common theme for a lot of people talking about it. I think the big concern for everybody from their perspective is that, is this going to be the banner year that is expected of Microsoft? You've got Starfield launching, Redfall, you know, what happens with Halo? What happens? Does the Activision Blizzard deal finally go through? And are we now to the point of, do they no longer get the pass because of what's happened with the pandemic over the last few years? What are they really bringing to the table for 2023 after the purchase of all these new development studios and bringing them in? Right? Mm-hmm. They have no more excuses that they can essentially fall on. Not to say that they've been, depends on personal opinion, but they're now at that critical crossroads as an organization, as a gaming studio, as a developer, publisher. Have they done enough to warrant where they're at today? And it's going to be, 2023 is going to, I don't want to say make or break Microsoft, because I think, you know, that team in general is big enough. They're more than talented enough to do it. But is it enough in 2023 for what they're planning to deliver?
So I agree with some of what you said, but then there's one part I definitely disagree with, and that's the Activision part. I think it has nothing to do with Activision. Okay, you show a trailer for Starfield or Redfall or Minecraft Legends or Forza. These are known entities. So even if you wanted to have a presence, if they wanted to have a presence at the Game Awards, that's not going to make or break them acquiring Activision. At this point, we are in the legal phase of this. So showing off a game that you've already announced at that show isn't going to change anything. If they showed Hellblade 2 again or Perfect Dark, that's not going to change any minds or any perceptions on anything. So I do disagree with that. I think this has nothing to do with Activision. Was I surprised that Xbox didn't have anything to show at the Game Awards? Yes, I do. And I tweeted as much, and I said it felt like a missed opportunity to me because I felt like this is a way to end the year and set up 2023 for them. And this is my personal opinion, I know absolutely nothing. I feel they're going to have some type of event early. And I've been talking about this the past couple of weeks anyways, that it would make sense that they do something early in 2023 to kind of set up that first half of the year for the games that they've already announced. You have an event where you show off Redfall and Forza and Starfield and all this stuff, and you put actual release dates on these things so people can now anticipate when these games are coming out in the first half of the year. And obviously some other, you know, I'm sure they'll have some other surprises, some other games from other partners that they have, things like that. But they need to do that to Pete's other point. I've said this for a while. 2023, while it is not going to be a make or break year for Xbox, it is one of the more important years for Xbox for the simple fact that they've had so many delays, you know, pandemic related, obviously other reasons. They've done all these acquisitions. They have 23 studios under their belt. We know very little of what all these studios are working on. You had to delay your two big tentpole games out of 2022 into 2023, probably really three, because Forza was probably one that they just never announced. And now's the time. They have to be quality games. They have to be. This is not Starfield was okay. No. Jeff Keighley better be talking about Starfield a year from now. If not, that's a disappointment for them. It just has to be. That has to be a great game for them. Todd Howard himself has even acknowledged that. So they know. But yeah, it was surprising that they didn't have a game at the Game Awards. But the fact that Aaron Greenberg came out at, see, here's my thing, and I'm going to say this too. Aaron Greenberg came out after the Game Awards when you saw a bunch of, you know, very prominent people in the Xbox community, you know, I guess complaining, I guess is the best word for it, just talking about the lack of showing anything at the TGAs. And he was like, look, don't worry. Timing is everything. You won't have to wait long to see what we're working on. To me, again, that says they got something coming early 2023 that they're going to have some type of event, whether it be an in-person event, digital, online, whatever. But my thing is, if I had any say so in the planning for it, I would have got out in front of it. I would have, even if it was just one tweet, I would have just said, hey, to set expectations for the Game Awards. Yes, Phil Spencer would be there. Sarah Bond would be there. We're there to celebrate the year of gaming, all the award winners, all that stuff. But Xbox will not have a big presence at this show. But don't worry, you won't have to wait long to hear more from us. That's all you had to do. That's it. You set expectations, and then you don't have all these crazy ass tweets that came out afterwards were in articles and sensational headlines and all this stuff. You would have set the expectation of what to expect from Xbox at that award show and going into 2023. In my personal opinion, that would have been a better way to do it. So I'm still excited for what they're going to have in 2023 of what we know. I think Starfield will be good. I'm highly anticipating Redfall. I mean, you know, look, Turn 10 with Forza, we know. I mean, they've been putting out quality products for well over a decade at this point. So I have full faith in Forza. Not Redfall, excuse me. Minecraft Legends. That's going to be the sleeper one that no one's talking about. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. If you play Minecraft Dungeons, if you've seen what that team has been able to, Mojang has been able to do with Minecraft Dungeons, I'm very much anticipating playing Minecraft Legends with my kids. We're going to have a great time with it. So I'm really looking forward to that. But overall, yeah, I think Xbox will be fine going into 2023. We obviously have no idea what the second half of 2023 is going to be like, but their first half looks pretty strong.
Okay, I'm going to say this. And I know there was a lot of people posting, you know, articles and tweets and, you know, giving feedback about everything. Look, I shout to Ryan. I love Ryan McCaffrey. He's super cool. Always been a huge supporter of ours and everything. But I'm not going to lie. I was very disappointed seeing the title of his article, which I get. I completely understand where he's coming from. Completely understand. But to say something like slap in the face, or like our friend, our really good friend, Tony Polanco, saying that's insulting for gamers, I think it's a little bit too much. I think it's personally too much. I think you could say there's other words, you know, disappointing or anything like that. That's great. Like that's you. It's good to be vocal, to send your feedback to whatever company it is out there that make their mistakes as a fan of gaming. It's good for us to give our feedback so the companies could make better decisions in the future, man, that it's going to benefit us, the gamers. You get what I'm saying? So I'm disappointed about Xbox, but I wouldn't say and take it to that level, I think, you know, in my opinion. You know, I just want to say that very quick because I know that was a conversation that has been going around a lot about that stuff, man. You know, and another thing too, Paris, I know you mentioned about that if there was only a tweet and this and this and that. And here's the thing. I get where you're coming from, but do they have to do that every single time? I don't think so, man. Like, I think there's a reason why there was no tweet. There's a reason why they waited after the awards. You get what I'm saying? Look, don't get me wrong. I get where you're coming from. I agree with you. I just don't feel that Xbox has to do that every single time. Every single time. Yo, PlayStation, stay quiet. Yes, they've been releasing software, great games, and everything like that. But there's years that they've been quiet. Same thing with Nintendo. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think by doing that, now people are depending on, like, well, we need a tweet from Xbox. Like, come on, man. Really? Every single time they need to do that? I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. Me personally. So you go ahead. I know you had your little face looking at me laughing.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor here, Gamertag Radio, and that's HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh can help you eat better all holiday temptations. Their meals have 20% fewer calories than takeout, so you can still have that full flavor just without the guilt. Short on time? Look for HelloFresh quick and easy options like the 20-minute meals, which I love, and it's super, super easy to clean up the dishes. These time-saving solutions mean more time with friends and family around the holidays. Now, I did receive my HelloFresh a couple weeks back, and I really enjoyed it. It came with pork, beef, and also chicken. And you also have the option if you want to go with veggies, so you want to go with that. And it was very easy to cook. You know, you could get together with your partner, family, and make a fantastic meal. And it's super, super easy to make. So, and yes, and it saved a lot of time. Now, for those that are listening to Gamertag Radio, this deal is for you. So take action right now. Go to HelloFresh.com/GTR18 and use code GTR18 for 18 free meals plus shipping. That's right. Go to HelloFresh.com/GTR18 and use code GTR18 for 18 meals plus free shipping. It's highly encouraging to take this advantage. And by the way, check out HelloFresh because it's America's number one meal kit. We want to thank HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio.
No, but go ahead. I want to hear your feedback about it, your thoughts.
Okay. In the words of the great Samuel Jackson in one of the greatest movies ever made, Pulp Fiction, allow me to retort. Okay. Yes, they did need to do that this time, the same as they should have done it the last showcase that they had. Because here's the thing, and I am strictly talking about 2022, and I'm talking about precedent. 2022, you delayed your major games out of the year. So this has been, for all intents and purposes, from Xbox Game Studios and Bethesda, a very light year for them. That's just, it is what it is. We know. So because of that, it would have been, especially at the TGAs, since precedent shows since 2019, you have had a major presence at every show. So this is the first show you didn't have one. It would have been nice to let people know, hey, coming off of this year where we really didn't have anything, the fact that there's been a precedent that's been going around where we show something major at this show, we're not going to do it this time. I think to your audience, I think to people, big fans, just et cetera, I think that makes sense. Again, I said this at the Xbox showcase where I didn't necessarily agree that they waited until day of the show, like you're announcing the show. Oh, by the way, we're only going to show the next 12 months. There's wild fan speculation that happened. Even with this Game Awards, I even said it. I thought, hey, they might be putting a Redfall release date here. I legitimately thought that was going to happen at this show. I'm tweeting it. Other people are tweeting, you know, putting the wind horse meme where he's like, now, why would they do, you know, all that stuff was happening. Right. So, yeah, just get out in front of it. And to the point, PlayStation has gotten out in front of some of their showcases and set expectations as well.
So you said it. You said some.
I didn't say, Jesus Christ, I didn't say everyone. I agree. I didn't say they needed to do everyone. I said for this one, they needed to. That's what I said, Danny. Look, Q-Tip, listen to what I said.
Yo, no, you should listen because you said some, and I had to mention that right there. Because that's basically the same thing I'm saying, Lou Paris.
How I let Danny talk uninterrupted, and then you got to jump in and interrupt me. See how that works? See how it works? Hey,
you know what? We're debating, Paris. That's the art of debating.
I'm just telling you what I think.
You did ask for his opinion. You asked him what his opinion was.
And then he interrupted me.
Yeah. Yeah. And no. I have to say my piece. Go ahead.
No, but I do think, I just think, being serious for a second, I do think, yes, I do think they should have said something ahead of time. Because of how important the first half of 2023 is going to be for them, you set up excitement, not to mention millions of people that are not Xbox fans are watching the show. So you're putting the bat signal out to them of buckle up and get ready. Here's what we got coming next year, right? I do think that would have been a very important thing for them to do. So like I tweeted, I think it was a missed opportunity to signal to people who are not plugged into the Xbox ecosystem, who don't subscribe to Game Pass, that doesn't have a Series X or an S. This is stuff we got coming. You might want to sign up. I think that's fair. I think that was the missed opportunity of the show. And if you're not going to do that, let your loyal fans know that, because the loyal fans of Xbox had an expectation that you were going to show something at this show, because you've shown something since 2019. You revealed the Series X at that show, Hellblade 2 at that show, Perfect Dark at that show, actual gameplay for Hellblade 2 at that show. So, yeah, there was an expectation from the Xbox community that you're going to show something at that show. That's all. So a simple tweet, whatever, ahead of time saying we're not going to do it here, but don't worry, we got you real soon, would have been fair. That's all I'm saying.
Now, we do agree that there is going to be, like you said, there is going to be a some type of event, maybe sometime in spring, maybe. That they're going to show stuff that's coming out in the future. I could see that. I could definitely see that happening, making their own event and everything like that. Because here's the thing. The worst thing that they could do is stay completely quiet for the rest of the year and just wait until June. I think that would be a terrible move, in my opinion. But being out there doing your own thing and showing that to the world, to the fans, to the loyal fans, instead of depending on other events, yes, that works. But to post every single time there's an event and saying that, oh, we don't have any announcements, I just feel like they don't need
but
to
Danny
do that,
nobody man. Said that you're the only one that's saying that. No one has said they needed to do it at every show. That's
Paris,
not
that, Paris, I didn't say you. I said some people have been saying that. I'm saying some people have been saying that. So, you know, That's all.
But one thing we do agree on, because one thing that you did say, I don't like the sensational headline stuff. I don't like the clickbaity, let's say some crazy stuff to come read my article, or let me say something crazy online to rile everybody up over. Like, do I like that they didn't show anything? No, I wish they did. I really do. But I'm not going to sit here and just be completely outraged over it. Like, this is the end of Xbox. Like, people are like, fire Phil Spencer. And, you know, look, we had one Looney Tune conspiracy. Bobby Kotick is going to take over the Xbox. Like, none of that nonsense. That's just nonsense. All of that. You can display your surprise and disappointment for what you were expecting and still be respectful by it. And some of the stuff I've seen has just been absolutely outrageous. That's all.
Yeah. Pete, your thoughts, Pete. We'd like to hear you talk about this.
I mean, I think we all echo the same sentiment with regards to the clickbaity titles. We've been saying the same for years, right? It's not necessary to get the point across, but it's also, I understand what Tony and why Ryan and everybody else does it. It's what draws clicks, and that's what draws attention to your medium, to whether it's your Twitter, whether it's to your website, whether it's your podcast. That's marketing. That's marketing 101. You draw them in with, that's why you see all the crazy memes and faces on YouTube video covers, right? That's exactly the whole point. But I still feel, and I agree with Paris, I disagree with you, Danny. I think they should have at least said something. Prepend it a week or two before the show or immediately after, because unless you're not going to have your own personal event, which is what I think I think may have behooved them more, just having their own digital event to showcase their stuff so they control the messaging. A lack of a physical, or the lack of an appearance, comment, content, something to show does not show confidence. Whether it does or not is subjective to everybody else's opinion. But them not saying anything at all, I still think something has to, I still think, and look, I know Paris and I can disagree about this, it's fine, but I still think the legal battle has something to do with it, that is trying to draw attention away from what, whether it's the consumers, whether it's the lawyers, whether it's the judge themselves that are presiding over the case. By keeping themselves out of the media and out of the bigger marketing eye, I think people are going to have an issue. I think from a legal perspective, I think something is about it.
Yeah. You know what? I have to mention that. I think I don't fully disagree with Pete. I see where Pete is coming from, because look, I'm going to keep it real. Like, the thing that I've been hearing the most, and I tweet about this, I've been hearing more about the FTC, if Call of Duty is exclusive or not, and this and this and that. And even the announcement that Phil just posted a couple of days ago before the awards about making, you know, the 10-year deal with Nintendo and Valve, Call of Duty, right, to release those games there. Like, I've been hearing more about that than the games that's coming out within the next 12 months. So I get where P is coming from, though, Paris. You get what I'm saying? Like, that part, because that's all I've been seeing from Xbox, is Phil has been doing a lot of interviews talking about that, instead of, like, the last time I heard about any of this conversation about games was Matt Booty at PAX West. That was the only time that I've been hearing that. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then it was quiet after that. But go ahead.
Let me ask this question then. What's the difference of showing something in December versus a month later in January? What does that change?
But we don't know if it's going to happen in January. That's the thing.
My point is this. They got games that better be freaking coming out in the next 6 months. Bottom line, because that's what they said was going to happen. So Starfield, Redfall, Forza, Minecraft Legends are all coming out by June of 2023. At some point, you have to talk about these games and put a release date on them, right? So what's the difference? You say something now or you say something later, you're still saying something. So from a FTC Activision acquisition thing, what does it matter? You're still talking about the games. It's not going to change anything. I, I'm done.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Because here's the thing, Paris. I get where you're coming from. I don't disagree. But it's like, it's a lot conversation about that, Paris, about the whole Call of Duty, FTC, Colorvision, Activision. Like, that's all I've been seeing, man.
The last couple months. You're changing the conversation. My point is from a legal standpoint. What does it change if you talk about it right now or 6 weeks from now? It's still something that is going to be brought up in this whole, you know, FTC, EU stuff and all that. These are known entities. I understand, hey, let's not show Fable or show Avowed or something like show some brand new stuff. I get that. I'm talking about the existing IPs that we already know about. Whether you talk about one of them now or you talk about one of them 2 months from now, you're still talking about it. So that means it still factors in into whatever's happening. I hate talking about the FTC. I think it's ridiculous that we even talk about it because nothing we say is changing anything. But my point is, when it comes to the game rewards, I don't think that has any ramifications to them presenting something at the game rewards or not, because you can show something that we already know about.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been great to mix it all up, and during interviews with Phil, she should have, you know, mentioned that type of things, like, instead of the conversation. I mean, it all depends on the person that's interviewing him too. You know what I'm saying? But, look, I bet you he's probably like, oh my God, I just want to talk about the games that's coming.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure too. It's annoying. I mean, it's exhausting to have a, because they're basically just repeating themselves over and over at this point. We're not taking Call of Duty away. We're not taking Call of Duty away. We signed a 10-year deal with Nintendo. We signed a 10-year deal with Steam. We offered one to PlayStation. They said no. It's just on repeat at this point.
Yeah. It sounds like a broken record.
Yeah.
Nonstop. You know what I'm saying? So is there anything else, guys? Anything else? Oh, and by the way, I just want to say this, because I know last week, Keon sent us a voicemail about the reason about the Xbox not showing games in the Game Awards is so they could look the company weak. So I know we had that conversation last week, but I just want to say that, no, that's not the reason why that happened. They didn't want to show themselves as weak during the Game Awards. That sounds very ridiculous. We said it last time, but just want to repeat that again. Is there anything else? Besides this, we could wrap it up. From both of you. Nope.
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Okay.
All right. At least for me.
So, all right. Paris, anything else?
No. I think I'm good.
Good. That was a great conversation. Great debate. At the end of the day, I just want the company to succeed and release games. And I want to have a great 2023. That's all I want, man. You know, so hopefully... Hopefully we get to hear something soon from the team. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1236. Send us your feedback, your thoughts about the conversation and about the Game Awards. Tell us your favorite trailers, your thoughts. Do you agree, disagree what we were saying? Send it in. And here's how you can send us questions for fan mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.